Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, October 12th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. We're picking up in the book of Judges, then we'll read Psalm 131. And in Matthew today, we're in chapter 20, verses 17 through 34, which is the end of the chapter. I want to kind of review. So the book of the Old Testament as a whole starts with what book? Genesis, and then Exodus, and that's the story of the deliverance of the people from Egypt. And then what comes next? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which is the law. And remember, the people were on the cusp of entering into the promised land, and Moses was giving them the law. And then we just read about Joshua, and the book of Joshua helped us see the people of Israel conquering the land of Canaan. And do you remember the main points? Like, obey, and God's blessing will be with you. But if you don't obey, then there are some warnings about what is to come. And then next in the progression is the book of Judges. So this is a period where the people of God are in the land of promise. But we see this cycle, don't we, of sin and then oppression, repentance, deliverance, and peace. So that's kind of where we are. We're on the fourth judge, Deborah, and Deborah is bringing peace in this battle with Sisera. It's a very interesting story today. So Judges chapter 4, verses 11 through 24. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zananim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Hashasheth Hagoim to the Kishon River all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Hashasheth Hagoim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite, Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, 'Is anyone there?' say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. Well, that was a very interesting story, wasn't it? Just to summarize, God does give Sisera into the hands of the Israelites. And did you catch who was the ultimate victor? It was Jael, who actually kills Sisera by driving a tent peg into his temple. Remember from yesterday that Barak didn't want to go into battle unless Deborah accompanied him. And that's understandable, but God had decreed that he should go. And so maybe there was a lack of trust. And so Deborah had said, because you are taking this course, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord has delivered Sisera into the hands of a woman. And so Jael is that woman, and she was able to help Israel defeat this army. There are several things in this passage that I want to highlight, but mostly I want to think about God's power. Despite the enemy's iron chariots and the inadequate size of Israel's army, God brings Israel victory. And it just reminds me that God's in the business of doing a lot with a little. He uses flawed people to do his work, and he helps us in the midst of whatever he calls us to do. Okay, let's move over to the psalm, Psalm 131. A song of ascent of David. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This passage just reminds me the importance of contentment and how God calls us to be a people who are satisfied in him and satisfied with the blessings that he has provided. All right, let's move on over to Matthew. We're going to start in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 20, and then we'll go through the end of the chapter. Here, Jesus again is predicting his death. And then there's this interesting story about a mother's request, and we'll finish up with two men receiving sight. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it that you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they said, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I want to end our time together with a prayer for humility. Again and again in Matthew, we're learning that the first will be last and the last will be first, and we are called to be servants. And so I found a prayer for humility online, and then I'm going to kind of morph it at the end. Will you pray with me? God, I am too far often influenced by what others think of me. I'm always pretending to be either richer or smarter or nicer than I really am. Please prevent me from trying to attract attention. Don't let me gloat over praise on one hand or be discouraged by criticism on the other. Show me how to be humble of heart like you. And Lord, we just want to pray from the gospel today that you would help us not to seek necessarily to be just in positions of power at your right or your left, but that we would seek to be those who humbly submit, who work for the good of others, and who see the greatest work being that of simply obeying and doing whatever you ask so that your kingdom might come. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.